Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We are so excited to be here. We're here to talk to another one of our Hallmark actresses, and we love doing these interviews. And I am film critic Rachel Wagner, and I'm joined today by Anna Sear.
Hi, everybody.
Yes. And so today we are talking with actress Donna Benedicto, who has been in many Hallmark films. And Donna, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Hey, no problem. I'm super excited.
Yeah. So we like to ask our guests to introduce yourself and tell us what inspired you to become an actress.
Okay. Well, I'm Donna Benedicto, and I've been acting for, this is coming up on my 7th year. It's kind of a long story, so I'll just sort of chop it up and shorten it here. Okay. Because I never really thought I would be an actress. Just because, not to get like a little political on you guys or whatever, but growing up, I didn't see very many Filipinos on TV. Uh-huh. So I didn't really think it was possible. And I instead was just working in the service industry and whatnot. And then I started singing, and I got a couple of singing gigs here in Vancouver, BC, where I'm from. And then I had this one gig that was like a house band gig, and they made me sing songs that I didn't really like I didn't have any control over them, so because it's a cover band, and I really wanted to make sure I performed well, and a friend suggested, like, hey, you know, you could take acting lessons if you don't like these songs, at least you could act like you do. I'm like, yeah, why not? So right, it's pretty funny. And then I took some acting classes, and the acting coach, well, my first class said, you know, like, you could probably get some work if this is something you'd want to pursue, because I guess the performance on being on stage so much sort of transferred over. And yeah, and then I just started taking more and more classes, and then booking commercials and booking one-liners. And then luckily for me, even though I thought I would never be an actress in a supporting role back then when I started, which was only 7 years ago, Hallmark is like putting me as the best friend in all their, like, so many movies. I'm so lucky. So yeah, that's how it's happened.
Well, I mean, awesome.
It's so interesting what you say, because a lot of people are like, what's the big deal? Acting is acting. Why does it have to have, you know, diversity? It shouldn't matter. But that's the thing about it that does matter, because if you're sitting at home and you never see anybody doing it, then you think, oh, well, that's not something that I can do. And
that's exactly it.
And yes. So exactly. It's like an institutionalized form of discrimination, because, you know, nobody is actually saying, sorry, you can't act in these roles. You can't be an actor. Nobody's being outright racist, but the whole institution itself has institutionalized racism, and that's the part of it that makes it so you don't even acknowledge as a possibility of that's something that you can do.
Absolutely. You just hit the nail on the head, you know, and it's something you don't really think about. Like, I never thought about that when I started acting. I didn't think, like, oh, why isn't there, you know, more Asians on TV? At the time, I just thought, like, okay, well, I just, you know, if I start acting, I'll do these one-liners where I run in and say this and that. Like, you just don't think about it, just because that's the way it's always been, you know. Yeah. Of course, it's like, oh yeah, that would be nice, but it seemed impossible at the time. And now it's, you know, it's getting there. It's totally possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, you totally hit the nail on the head there. It's just, if you don't see yourself represented, you just don't think it's going to happen. And then also, like, there's so much we could talk about on that subject. Like, my culture wouldn't support me. Like, when I first told my parents, you know, like, Donna, you want to be an actress? Like, they don't get it. That's my mom's accent. You know, like, they just didn't understand, because they didn't think it was possible either. They thought it was crazy, you know? But yeah, it's on the up and up. It's on the up and up. And like, look at Hallmark go, you know?
Yeah.
I'm so happy. I'm so proud.
That's really great. Did you take, like, singing lessons or in choirs and stuff growing up, or that kind of thing?
You know, I did when I was like, four, I remember singing, and I didn't sound like a kid singing, you know. I sounded like a kid singing well. when children sing, it's pretty off key, it is very cute. Yeah. But like, I was on key, and I remember my mom cried and showed my dad mad. She like paraded me around. She like, listen to my daughter sing. So I knew I had like a pretty decent tone. But then the thing is, I kind of got too cool for it. You know how kids are when you get forced to do something. You just don't want to do it. And sang a little bit through high school, but I really wasn't very good. I actually had to, I did take a full year of lessons, like going every week to get better. And you honestly don't really get better, like to a professional level until you start gigging and doing it enough. Luckily for me, I was working at a bar for about 6 years, and my boss actually found out I took singing lessons and thought like, oh, and made me sing at a staff party. And then, yeah, I was so scared. And then he was like, you know, Donna's like not bad. Why don't we give her a show? Because he knew if he gave me a show that everybody who had known that I don't sing would have been like, Donna's a singer, let's go see her. And we packed the bar. And then I just went from show to show to show. And I eventually got better and better, even though I wasn't very good when I first started. But yeah, that's just how it goes, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
That's interesting. Yeah. So you, like, when you say a show, what do you mean? Like a little, just a bunch of songs put together or?
Yeah. So basically I went from being able to sing like two or three songs, like, okay, to having to do a full like entertainment gig where you do three or four sets of like 12 or 13 songs, 14 songs. Uh-huh. Like now, do you know Vancouver at all?
I've been one time.
Oh yeah.
One time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's this nightclub that has live music every night of the week, and I sang there for three nights a week for about 6 years.
Oh my gosh. And, yeah, wow.
Yeah. And I wasn't the only singer in that band, but we would do 3 to 4 sets of like 45-minute sets. So that's a basic like music gig that you'd have to do. So you build up endurance. I finally fixed my pitch like a couple years ago. And you just get better and better. Mm-hmm. And the more you do it, just like anything else, just like acting too. Mm-hmm.
So when you first got your first role on television, were you like super freaked out or how did that feel?
Yeah, you know, in auditions, I sort of skip I just wasn't as nervous just because I had like a good amount of stage experience and I've screwed up in front of people before. And so you just kind of get over that. Oh, you screw up and just keep going and whatnot. But set is completely different. Like my first day on set ever was a commercial, and luckily for me, I didn't even have to say anything. I couldn't imagine like my first gig having to say a bunch of stuff. Like all I had to do was do a couple looks, but all the pressure of everyone watching you, and not just that, like the time ticking of you have to get it right so they can move on, and all the lighting. And then once they say like, okay, rolling and action, like you just, the pressure was pretty intense. It was very, very nerve-wracking, but just like anything else, you just keep doing it and you get used to it. Yeah. On the Hallmark shows, I mean, there's obviously pressure because they don't have that much time to shoot, but they cast really good actors that don't need that much time to begin with. And they're such fun shoots, like fun sets, that you don't really get nervous on those. Well, I don't anyway anymore.
So your first role for Hallmark was in A Wish for Christmas, right?
Yes. Directed by Christy Wilmore.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she's one of your favorites too, Lacey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Christy Wilmore's definitely one of our favorites. And, and you know, you have Lacey there, the Queen of Hallmark, and Paul Green, Andrea Brooks, we love.
They were all lovely. Lovely, so much fun. And it's just, it was great. They were so sweet to me. And was I nervous for that one? I can't really remember. I didn't have too much to say, so I was okay. That was definitely my first, that was my first Hallmark experience, and it was a great one. So I was like, I want to do more of these. Please. Yeah.
What's it like working on one of these TV movies? I know that you filmed them very, very quickly, but is it a stressful experience or?
You know, I find that kind of depends on the crew, and usually the number one sets the tone, the number one being the star of the show.
Yeah.
The number one and the number two, which is like the female star is the star, and then the male star. And if they're not stressed out, nobody else stresses out, really. Okay. And usually they're not. I know you've met a bunch of them and interviewed them, and you can see they're all like really happy, good, nice people. And so, I find that, it can get stressful if something gets behind, like if something holds us back, like weather or, I've heard on some sets, like they're trying to get some of the cast to the set and everybody's set up and waiting, which costs money, if they're ready to go. And then a train's coming by and like everyone's literally stopped in their tracks waiting for this long, long train to finish.
Oh dear.
That's when things start getting stressed out, stressful for mostly the crew and the production, because they could see just the budget just ticking away there. But you know what's great though? They don't put pressure on the actors, because like you can't put pressure on an actor and expect them to do their best performance, right? So fortunate for us, we don't feel it all that much. You could sense it in the crew when they're stressed out, but they're so good to us that we kind of just like, well, what can you do?
Did you ever have any of, you're playing the BFF kind of character. Mm-hmm. Did you ever have somebody that you like really connect to as like BFF in that you became friends with like in real life?
In real life? Well, I don't know if this is a TV movie. Do you watch Lifetime as well?
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This was Lifetime. I had a movie with Cindy Busby called The Killer Downstairs.
Uh-huh.
It was one of the thriller ones. Mm-hmm. And we match kind of in energy. We're both a little bit silly. Well, she's like my go-to goals woman on set. Like she knows her stuff. She's super professional. She could like call people out if they're not doing a good job in a very professional way to get things done. Knows the sequence of everything, knows how most things work, but she's also a lot of fun. Like I get really silly on set, and I'm sure that could be kind of annoying for some people, when they're like concentrating and I'm goofing off. And I guess that's just, coming from my job being singing at a nightclub, I could just do whatever I want. Right. So on set, if I get some leeway, I'm pretty silly. And she was so silly with me, and we just had a blast. Like the behind the scenes footage from that on my Instagram stories was just hilarious. Hilarious. We were like, we would stop shooting just to like do some Instagram, like Donna, Cindy, please. And so me and Cindy remained like pretty close. Like we'll message each other here and there. And she's just a beautiful human all around. But energy.
Yeah, she was one of our early interviews, like in the first 6 months of the podcast. And yeah, so she's great. We love her. We love her. Yeah.
Yeah,
she's such a nice person.
Everybody loves the buzz. Everybody loves Buzzy. Everybody does.
Yeah, yeah. You have a lot of fun. Anne was telling me about the Instagram that you do a lot of behind the scenes stuff.
Yes, she's very. I was watching it, and I could see how you guys would have really fun stories, because you were having a whole bunch of fun stories on Christmas on my mind. Which, when we get to that, I'll ask you about. But
yeah, for sure, it's a good time, And so the thing about social media and being on Instagram stories, like I do it because it's part of my personality, and sort of it just kind of carried from what I would do at the Roxy, the nightclub I used to sing at. I get bored singing the same songs over and over again. Not that it's boring on these sets at all, but I just got into the habit of making these little funny stories, and everybody kind of loved them. And it's not really anything I think up. It's just something's happening. You just get your phone out. And the thing is, like, I had a couple of actors saying, like, oh, it's so annoying to do it. It's like, well, then don't do it if it doesn't really come naturally to you and you don't really want to. It kind of comes naturally to me, and I'm fast at it, so I'm not on my phone the whole time, because it's not good to be that person either.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
And it just becomes like part of who you are. Like, yeah, I know this firsthand because I lost my phone and I have been like feeling serious anxiety. Like, it's so, I know it's like the older person would be like, oh, millennials, and you need your phone. But I really need my phone. Yeah.
I mean, well, you really do. I mean, to do what you do, like, you need to be able to contact people and do stuff, you know. Yeah. It's like,
I have my whole life organized on that darn device. And if I don't have it, then I have to, you know, flip around from all these different websites. And so, yeah, it's just like, and I'm just so used to being like, oh, that's funny. Click, 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 click. Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's so weird.
When I think about some of the extras on set, or even like when we're waiting around to audition and casting is really behind, you got like an hour to kill, 45 minutes to kill. Just remember, I'm like, how bored were we when we didn't have our phones on us too, you know?
I know.
The things you could read and learn about, like, oh yeah, I'm just going to look this up. But I might try a vacation phone free, like a week or something like that. But even thinking about that gives me anxiety.
Right?
Yeah, that's true. It does.
You think about that, but I'm like, no, that will be more stressful. Why would I want to be more stressed on a vacation?
The anxiety of opening up your emails after that, right?
Oh, yes.
It's like, oh. Yes. So true.
Well, speaking of doing things over and over again, do you get tired of all the Christmas stuff eventually that you're just like, by the time December comes along, you're like, I'm done.
Like in general?
Yeah, just because you do so many of these Christmas movies.
You know, the thing is, it's like on set, there's so much fun. And you know, I didn't, because we don't really have the Hallmark Channel here in Canada.
Uh-huh.
We have to, it doesn't just come with cable. You have to, I think, order it like specially. I don't have cable, so I just watch everything on the different subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't really understand the whole Hallmark movie thing because I never really saw them until I started doing them. And, you know, they're so lovely. Like, it's just such a nice escape from real life, you know?
It really is. Yeah.
It is. I'm not that Christmassy of a person, which is kind of strange. But so I get sick of Christmas in general, like in stores.
Yeah.
The music and whatnot, like out in public, but when it comes to like shooting and everything, no, it's totally fine. And you know what I really like? I like seeing people who are excited about Christmas get excited about them. So that's what I feed off of when I get annoyed with Christmas. like I'm just going to focus on the people who really like this stuff, and, you know?
Well, yeah. You could be a lead character in a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
You know, like...
At this rate, who knows?
You're like,
yeah, that would be great.
You're like, I'm over the shopping and commercialism, and that's just when you need to get visited by three spirits or something like that.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? There we go. Are you listening, Hallmark?
Yeah.
Let's make some history. The first Filipina, like, Christmas lead. Why not?
Oh, that'd be great.
That would be great. I mean, they did over at, because I think Vanessa Lachey is Filipino.
Yeah, she's half. She's half.
Yeah, so they did it in Lifetime. So They should do it on homework.
Yeah, you never know. You never know.
Yeah.
But that actually, you two should just write one now that you know some of homework. That's
true. Probably come second nature. It'd be easy. Okay, well, this is the part we're going to put in X, Y, Z, you know. Right.
And then you thought about it. Whoever you want. You can cast you can cast Andrew.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, we're always coming up with our dream cast, and I mean our ultimate dream is to have the Hallmark Christmas musical. That's our dream.
Oh, so. I can definitely get it. You know, Ashley Green sings too. Oh, I don't know.
There's really, I mean, there's a lot. There's you. There's Alicia Witt sing. There's a bunch that we can recruit. Yeah. Yeah, it would be great. I mean,
they get the, you know, why not switch it up, Hallmark? Why not? Why not do a musical?
It would be a huge rating.
I think people would really get into it. I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. You guys are onto something.
So you have a role in Supergirl?
I do. And it's funny. IMDb like won't change the name to the name that was my character for some reason. My character was called Agent Reef. And I basically am, well, the lead girl who's Kyler Lee, her character is the head of the DEO, which is basically like the alien FBI. I hope I'm doing this correctly. And she's my mentor, and I basically follow her around on these missions and whatnot and stand behind her being serious and frowning and making sure everything's okay, information and stuff. Yeah, that's a really, really fun set too. Super fun set.
And you work with Andrea Brooks again.
Andrea Brooks!
That's right.
She's on Supergirl.
Hopefully. You know, it's like they have so many characters on that show. Like it's you're lucky to cross with somebody that you know on there. You never know.
How does that work? Like, do they just call you and they're like, okay, hey, we want to have your character be in, you know, this, you know, scene or this, you know, this next episode or, you know.
That's exactly how it works. Okay. That's exactly how it works. Like sometimes they'll be like, it's not a huge role for me. So I, they basically call and say like, hey, are you available for this? We'd like you for this. And if I'm not available, they're like, that's okay. We'll try and write you into the next one.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that's how that works. I do have a guest star role on The Good Doctor coming up.
Ooh, I watched that. Oh, that's so cool. I'll be excited to see you on it. Yeah, I watched it. It's fun because I'll point at it. My husband doesn't like Hallmark. And I'll say, oh, that person's from Hallmark. Because, you know, they constantly use Hallmark people. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the person, you know, the so-and-so's best friend in this movie. Or that's what in my head when I see them. So that'll be cool. I'll look for you.
Yeah. Okay, Fiona Gubelman is
Fiona Gubelman. Darling. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
Well, Hallmark said that we're so lucky that they shoot here. They're so good to us Vancouver actors, you know, they get they give us such like great opportunity. So anything else that shoots here, I mean, if you're good enough to be on Hallmark's, like you're most likely good enough to be on these other shows. So there's going to be quite a bit of crossover. Uh-huh. If you see some like Vancouver Hallmark people that you love, you'll most likely see them here and there on the other shows that shoot here too. For sure. For sure.
Very cool. And you were on one of the Mystery 101 movies?
Yes, I am. The wardrobe on that was so good. I love the clothes that I was in on that. I love the clothes that I'm, the one that I'm shooting right now too. The stylists are so great. They're so awesome.
Which one was that one that you were on? The Mystery 101?
Mystery 101.
Was it the most recent?
Dead Talk? Dead Talk, yes.
Oh, Dead Talk. I loved Dead Talk.
The most recent one.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites. Yeah, because, I don't know, first of all, the name, hilarious.
Right.
Dead Talk. And I really liked, I mean, I love Jill and Christopher.
Yes.
Those two together.
Oh my gosh.
They should have their own show. They should have their own show, like behind the scenes show. Yeah. Like you should see how those two interact. It's so so much fun. They're so funny.
Yeah.
They're so funny.
We have it's like they are following the Hallmarkies podcast in casting that show because we've interviewed Jill twice. We interviewed Chris. We've interviewed Preston. And we and I really liked Matthew James Dowden in that one. And so we interviewed him. It's just was a really fun group. And I don't know, I just thought the whole idea of the Dead Talk was really fun.
it was fun. Good. Yeah, that was a fun movie. That was a really fun movie.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, it's all these people are such great people. You can't not have a good time when they're all together.
Yeah.
And it's so it's funny if you get like if there's a scene where there's a lot of us together, you have all these fun actors together, you just get nothing done. Everyone's like, hello, we're about to shoot. Can you guys shut up? Focus, please. Everyone's just joking around and laughing. It's such a great time.
That's cool.
Yeah. Hey, Rachel, is it okay if I cut in right now?
Oh, who is this? This is very exciting.
Yeah, it's Amber. Hi. Usually hanging out in the background, not saying anything. So I just thought I'd come up and jump in right now, if that's all right.
Yeah, this is so exciting.
Okay. So I just wanted to talk to you because, you know, it is the holidays. And one of my favorite parts about the holidays is reconnecting with my family. I love swapping stories and reliving moments with my family together. But keeping memories alive can be hard. And that's why this year I'm giving my family the most meaningful gift, StoryWorth.
Yeah, what's that? What's StoryWorth?
StoryWorth is an online service that helps your loved ones tell the story of their lives through thought-provoking questions about their memories and personal thoughts. Every week, StoryWorth emails your family member different story prompts, questions you never thought you'd ask, like, what have been some of your greatest life surprises, and what's one of the riskiest things you've ever done?
Yeah.
And then after 1 year, StoryWorth will compile every answered question and photo you choose to include into a beautiful keepsake book that is shipped for free. And you'll never know what family history StoryWorth will uncover. So I've been doing this with my grandma. We found out this beautiful story about her grandparents. When they first met, her grandma had just been broken up with the boy that she thought she was going to marry. And my grandpa came to her. And she was crying. He was like, what's wrong? And she said, there's nothing you can do. I'm upset because my heart is broken. You can't, whatever. Yeah. And he said, I'm a blacksmith. I can fix anything.
Aww.
Unbelievable.
That's so cute.
So if you want to help preserve and pass on memories for your family with StoryWorth, which is the most meaningful gift to give to your family, sign up today by going to StoryWorth.com/Hallmarkies. You get $20 off your first purchase. That's StoryWorth.com/Hallmarkies for $20 off.
That's great. Sounds like a great gift.
It's incredible. Anyway, okay, sorry. I'm going to let you get back
Merry
to the podcast
Christmas.
Now. Merry Christmas.
So let's talk about Christmas on My Mind.
Okay.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the story, about what it is, what's going on?
Am I allowed to do that?
Very basic.
You guys could say vaguely, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I play Ashley's best friend, and it's called Christmas on My Mind. See, I don't want to ruin it, though. See, I don't know if I'm ruining this.
We can take what's on the Hallmark website. I think that's fair game. So okay. It says that she wakes up with a wedding dress in hand and believes she is late to her wedding.
Right.
But she has no recollection of the past 2 years.
Okay. So it's such an adorable story and she did such a good job. So basically her character is running errands and she slips and hits her head. And all of a sudden she thinks it's 2 years before where she's getting married to her now ex-boyfriend.
Okay.
And she goes to, you know, she goes to live her life that she thinks she's living 2 years ago. And everyone around her is like, why are you doing this? Why are you here? And I play her best friend who also works with her that tries to help her get her memory back. And along the way, all these little things happen and her interaction with her ex-boyfriend who is Andrew's character is really sweet, but also very awkward. There's a lot of awkward, funny moments.
Oh, I love it when Andrew's awkward. That'll be good.
Yeah. Oh, it's so cute. It's so, so cute. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of fun, awkward moments here because can you imagine? It's like, wait, you're not my boyfriend? We're not getting married? And then there's the guy she's currently seeing like, wait, I'm marrying you? It's very... It's really, really cute.
Oh, that sounds okay. Good.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, it really does. Like, I love alternate reality kind of, you know, stories like Family Man kind of a thing, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. all of that. And it has a great cast. I mean, Preston's in this as well.
Mm-hmm. He's so fun.
You have Debs Howard, who we love.
Yes. Also, so did you see? Oh, you weren't following me then, I don't think. But in one of my Instagram stories, she found out I was a singer, and she actually said she saw me once in there in the club, and we would be. She wanted to sing with me, and so I made her do background vocals to Single Ladies. I was like, "All the Single Ladies," and she'd be like, "All the Single Ladies." We did like a whole little shtick.
Yeah, oh, that's so fun.
She's
so
hilarious.
When I was watching your Instagram stories, I have mm-hmm. to say, it was almost 70% food.
Yeah.
So you really, really love food, which is awesome because I really love food. But I was like, I didn't know they had such great food on these sets. Like, so, who knew they had like delicious, delicious food?
Let me tell you, ladies.
Yes, okay? Tell us.
One of the biggest benefits of being an actor is getting fed really well.
I can tell.
It's a benefit, and it's also like a curse because, you know, you're sitting there trying to be healthy, and, you know, exactly. This is the thing. It's like, this is for continuity. This isn't about weight here. Like, I come into these shows in these fittings, and you come a certain size, and you put on clothes that fit you, right? And then you're sitting there eating pastries and cookies all day and getting, like, fed all these hot snacks, and then you have snacks available to you all day, and then they come around with a candy tray. You get bloated, all the sodium, all the pop, and then all of a sudden, by the third week, your pants that you tried on 3 weeks ago are fitting pretty uncomfortably, you know?
Oh, so my gosh. Okay,
it's a blessing and a curse.
So craft services. I had no idea. I've never heard that the craft services were so deluxe. That's
I mean, the video she had, it looked so good. I was like, that looks amazing.
Well, see, it depends on who you get, right? You know, just like everybody, there's some people who really like are very passionate about their jobs, and if their job is feeding people, they get excited to feed you stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I usually get to know catering, and they know I get really, really excited and stoked when it's time. And they're like, Donna, look what we have for you.
I was gonna say, so like, what's like something, like it could be on that movie or just in general, like something you hear, like they have it or you see it and you're like, oh yes, that's my favorite, you know, thing.
Oh girl, let me okay, so the first of all, there is the catering, and they do the breakfast and lunch okay. could be at any time, you know, and they're the ones that do like the hot food. Okay. Where you're getting, where you wake up in the morning and you have your basic breakfast, where they have eggs and sausage and bacon, sometimes waffles, sometimes pancakes, but then you could also order off the truck, where you can have like burritos or like, you know, omelets or, you know, whichever you need. And they cater to some, like, you know, if you have special diets or whatnot.
Yeah.
And so, and then they also do the lunch portion, which is like, you know, your savory stuff, and they could do pork chops and lamb chops and, you know, depending on their budget, right?
Yeah.
And they usually have a salad bar and then desserts, and their desserts are like cakes and cookies or pies or Christmas on my mind, they're catering. Their head caterer was also a baker, like a 5-star chef baker. And would make us fresh cookies every day. I was losing my mind. And she would make all these different kinds. She would make all these different kinds. And so I had to try them. And then she saw me like suffering. She was like, I made the cookies smaller this time.
That's so funny.
And that's just the catering. And then you have the crafty. Okay. So crafty is a different, run by different people, and they're the ones who put the constant food out. These are the snacks, so you have your nuts, you have your candy bars, you have your granola bars, and they put fruit out, and then they'll put meat and cheese out, or they'll put cookies out, or donuts, or and they're the
this
ones that's
crazy.
I know,
oh my gosh.
I know. And they're the ones who make the snacks too. So you know how I said catering does lunch. They call it lunch, but it could be later in the day.
Yeah.
And so the crafty people make the sandwiches for when you're like in between, and then they call this hot snack at the end of the day, where you know we're shooting, you know, 10 to 12 hours, and so they feed people something hot, and it's like it could be like lasagna, tacos, hot dogs, or whatnot. And all this depends on the budget that the production has put in. And it's like, oh, ladies, the show I did, what was it called? I'm sorry, I can talk about food all day.
I know, you're right. That's something like I wanted to ask.
It's so appropriate because if you think about it, in Hallmark movies, food usually is love, and there's nothing more attractive than a Hallmark baker or chef.
Right.
But that's the other thing
about that's so terrible. So now props also knows that I love food because everybody could see my IG stories and everyone sees I get excited when it's lunch. And props start going, Donna, we put aside the props cookies for you, because they'll see me walk in like, oh, we can't eat these cupcakes. And they're like, wait, because they're props, right?
Yeah.
And then they'll just put them aside and just be like, we left these for you. Oh, they're so sweet. And they're all so sweet. But
aren't they gross after being like sitting out all day, like as part of props?
Yes, but then they'll save the ones that, because they have to have extras just in case you drop them or whatnot. So they'll put them aside, and sometimes I just have to say no. Like this show that I'm on right now, I'm really, really, really trying hard. I just sewered myself. It was so bad. I had to, like, it's just, you just feel so gross after eating sugar all day, you know?
Well, I was going to say, you just taught me something like major about actors I didn't know. Like they obviously have restraint because they still look good and they're surrounded by like wonderful food literally the entire day. So actors have restraint, I guess, pretty good restraint maybe to be surrounded by all this.
Yeah. They do. You know, and see, this is the thing. Like, I have to start learning to control myself because, like this show, I really am. I'm like, if I'm going to be on set this often, I got to reel this in. Like, on Good Doctor, I was only there for a few days, and their catering is exceptional. It is so delicious.
You could be a critic of the catering.
Of set catering, you know? Yeah. I went to town. I was like, screw this. I'm only here for like 4 or 5 days. I'm going to eat everything.
Yeah.
But you know, you really do have to control yourself. And you see, like, Andrew did a pretty good job.
I was going to say, he's like so healthy. How did he even eat anything? He like doesn't eat anything.
He would. See, this is the thing too. Like, I always feel like if I'm going down, I'm bringing people down with me. And
I think you had that in your story. Even Andrew had some or something.
I did. And even Ashley had some, because that show, that baker that I was telling you about, she made this blueberry cobbler, which was the best I've ever had.
Oh, I saw that one.
In my life. And I was just dying when I was eating it, like rolling my eyes, just like, oh my God. And then Andrew's just staring at me like, I'm like, you don't even know. Like, you don't even know. You better go get one.
Maybe that's why so many of these starlets become vegan, because then they can like be like, well, I'm not gonna eat that.
That's true. Maybe
I should just conform to veganism just on set. Yeah. But yeah, that day Andrew tried it, Preston tried it, and Ashley tried it, because it was just so good. Yeah, and they brought it back. They brought it back twice. So we were all screwed in those days.
Oh man.
I have interviewed over 100 people, and I have never had anybody give me the 411 on the catering.
I know. We just got all the details.
Right.
I will talk about food all day, like I said.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I love
now that. You know. Now you know. If you want to see what the set food is like, well, maybe not on this one, just because I'm really trying to. I haven't seen
you've been doing it. Yeah. On this one.
I was like, you know what? This isn't exciting for me. It's not going to be exciting for you guys. I'm like, I'm just not going to story my food.
I was enjoying it. So.
Do you know how to
salad and salmon?
Do you know how to cook in like regular life, or are you just kinda like, forget it? It's not worth it.
No. See, that's the thing. Like, it's funny when I date guys, and I'm just like, you want me to cook for you? Do you want to get stuck eating my crappy food, or will we like enjoy your food more? So, no. That's probably another reason it makes sense why I'm so excited, right?
yeah, exactly.
I cook like super boring food.
That is so funny. I love that. Okay. Well, we want to end our interviews with some silly questions that we have a lot of fun with. So you get the holiday edition of these silly questions. Okay. First one. What is your favorite holiday drink?
Ooh. I love the hot toddies. Those are so tasty. Okay.
Yeah.
They're so dangerous too. Kind of like, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, have enough of those and you'll be feeling really, really good. And you won't even notice because you're sitting there sipping. But it's that
well, the rough. Name sounds so innocent.
Right?
Yeah, it does.
It does. Yeah, you know, just have another hot toddy. Like it's nothing.
Very good. Well, this will be hard for you, but what is your favorite holiday cookie or treat?
Oh
no.
If you can pick just one.
Oh no. Can I even? I don't even know. The treat?
Yeah, or cookie.
See, people make this like the best shortbread over the holidays because it needs extra love. However, I mean, it is because they're all happy about Christmas and stuff, you know?
Yeah,
so
for sure.
It's made with like extra, extra love. But a homemade pumpkin pie, if you could get homemade pumpkin pie, is usually like the bomb.
And but also,
oh my god, did you see all the pies that were on set of Christmas on My Mind?
I did, that big table full of pies. Yes, I saw that.
It was insane.
But pumpkin pie, I think it is one of the pies though that's almost hard to mess up. Like, yes, the homemade is better, but if I had to pick, because I don't like it's not as crust dependent. Because other pies, like, you really need the crust to be good. But
that's true. Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
That's true. It's just all about the filling.
Yeah. Like any kind of the custard pies are always like the best option if you're not sure about the pie maker's ability.
Right.
Go with one of the custard because they're hard to screw up.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. It doesn't even have to look pretty.
That's true too. Yeah. Simple,
right? No. So I'd say pumpkin pie, but I have to say shortbread cookies, Christmas shortbread cookies as well.
Made with love.
I can't choose.
Okay. What is your favorite Christmas song or carol?
Should I even say it because we're all... Well, everyone rolled their eyes at once. I love Mariah Carey's Christmas song. I'm sorry. Yeah. You know,
no, it's a classic.
I know that's the one that people put on repeat all the time, but that's because it's so good.
Yeah.
That's the best one.
She's the queen of Christmas. I mean, she literally put up, did you see her tweet that she put up on November 1st of her?
No.
She's like, welcome to Christmas has officially begun. And I'm like, yeah, she's earned that right.
It's true.
She gets to officially start Christmas.
She can call it. It's hers.
Yeah, it's Mariah.
So what is your favorite Christmas movie? Like a traditional one to watch every year kind of thing.
I love Elf so much.
Oh, yes. That's a classic.
I love Elf so much.
Yeah.
He's just, I can't pick any other movie besides that one. I'm sorry. as sweet as our Hallmark ones are, nothing beats Elf.
Yeah. It's hilarious. I agree with you.
It's funny.
Okay. What is your favorite holiday tradition? Sounds like cooking with love is
your favorite. I think... Holiday tradition.
Like decorating the tree or something like that.
It's not really, I don't know if this is a tradition, but I love seeing my relatives fight over gifts. You know, the, what's it called? When it's the game.
Like a Yankee swap?
White elephant.
Yeah.
White elephant. I love that.
Yeah, that's fun.
It's so fun because especially when you have like immigrant Filipinos involved in this, they not only buy the most random stuff, they want the most random stuff. Like, you know, someone will have like this weird glass bowl that like serves sangria that's very odd looking, and someone will have it, and then the aunts will be like, I want that one. It's like, they start fighting over it, and like, really? That's what you want out of everything? It's pretty funny.
Speaking of being Filipino and food and everything, do you eat balut?
Balut? Yeah.
You eat it?
So I love food. Oh my gosh. I will try anything once unless it has, you know, paws or like nothing like dog or cat or anything
like that.
Like nothing like too close to our anatomy, like a monkey or anything, like nothing with paws or hands. I'll try. But if I see someone eating something and enjoying it, I have major food FOMO. Like I always think, like, you know, what if
that's so funny.
What if me not eating this right now? What if it's the best thing I've ever tasted? You know, I'm like, so I'll take a bite. You know, so when I was in the Philippines, I was on the beach and I've never tried balut. And if for people listening who don't know,
I was gonna say I don't know, so
okay, it's very strange. It's a partially developed duck egg that they boil, so, and then they eat it partially developed. So like you're basically eating like a strange looking egg with like a baby duck in the middle.
Yeah, baby duck.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And I think it's supposed to develop at a certain, you're supposed to eat it during a certain time of its development, so there's no like feathers or whatnot on it. Anyway,
oh my
God. I know. It sounds horrible.
It's the grossest thing I've ever seen.
Oh my God. Right?
But it's a delicacy. And
I know. Oh, I know.
I think in some Asian cultures as well, right? So it's boiled and it's hot and it's like kind of like there's soup in there. It basically tastes like chicken soup. So I was in the Philippines years and years and years ago, and I was on the beach on Boracay, and there's people walking around selling these things, and I've never tried it before. And my cousins were like, hey, Donna, it's your time to try the lot. Here, we're going to buy this. I'm a few drinks in, ladies, okay? So, like, I was sure, why not? And we're walking in the dark. Like, it's like, I don't know, evening. And we kind of like, we crack it open. I'm like, oh, it kind of tastes like soup. And so you have to remember, I can't see it. I can't see what I'm eating, right? So the girls are saying, well, I don't eat the black part. And I think the black part is the actual duck. And so because it's half developed, there's like stuff around it, like, you know, the nutrient sacs or whatever. And so I'm walking a little with a good buzz on and I'm kind of picking it apart and it actually tastes pretty good. Like I'm not looking at it. I'm just eating it because I'm a little drunk at this point. And it kind of tastes just like you're eating like a strange chicken egg. Uh-huh. But then.
Oh, no. Is that bad or good?
I started walking into the light and I kind of looked down I was like, you know, I'm going to stop eating this.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Hilarious.
Yeah, so I could say I've tried it. Would I eat it again? I can see why people enjoy it. Like, you know, they're like, a lot of Asian cultures don't really care about texture, you know, they're all about flavor and whatnot. And like, I just, you know, the texture of that thing was very different. and so when I walked into the light and saw feathers and stuff, I was like, okay, my God. This is not.
I'm sorry, I can't. Oh God,
this is not for me. You know, do you remember that show Fear Factor?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, they do it on Survivor all the time. They'll do weird food like that, and I was always just like, oh.
And it's so funny. When I'd watch that with my parents, like, back in the day, they're like, we would win this show because I like eating those.
Yeah, they would.
And so they would reveal the balut to the people, and they'd be like, oh, and start gagging. My dad's sitting there like, I want salt and vinegar.
I had a companion on my mission for my church that was Filipino. And I was always just like, how are you eating that? That's the most disgusting thing ever.
But it definitely doesn't look good. Hey, you know, like growing up, if you don't know what it is, you see all your parents eating it and everybody eating it, it's like, sure, why not? Right? But it's not really my thing.
Live your life.
Let me tell you, ladies, you're not really missing
out
too much.
Okay, good. I was worried there, you know.
But anyway, what is a memorable Christmas gift? Like, did you have growing up your, Red Ryder BB gun moment? Like, that you really wanted something?
I don't know if it was, this is might be one of the reasons why I don't really like Christmas all too much, is that I would get very, like, me saying I have, like, immigrants, like, aunts and uncles, they didn't really know how to buy their kids or whatnot.
I understand, because my dad, he's not great at gifts. That's not his love language. And he would go to Office Depot on Christmas Eve and just, like, get us the most random gifts that you could ever imagine. Like, we'd open it, we'd be like, one time he got me like 12 bottles of hot sauce. And then another time he got me like, I don't know, just like a whole bunch of pens and post-its and stuff. And I'm like, okay, I got it. That's cool. Whatever. Thank you.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's not their fault. That's just they're just not good gift buyers, right? So yeah. I think the most memorable one, I remember I had some neighbors who got some cool dolls, or I think they were gem dolls. Oh, right. My mom. I wanted a gem doll. Do you guys remember the show Gem?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Gem and the Holograms.
And I wanted it so bad, and I told her about it, and she didn't know, like, which one was Jim. She didn't watch the show, and she got me a Misfit, and I remember crying so hard.
Oh, no.
My mom's like, Donna, I bought this for you, you play with the doll. Like, I don't want to play with it. So that was...
That's funny. Oh, my gosh.
I guess it was memorable in, like, a wrong way, but, there's that. I wish I had a better story for that answer.
Yeah, that's okay.
Next is, which do you prefer, Scrooge or the Grinch?
The Grinch, because he's kind of funny. Scrooge wasn't really funny.
Yeah.
At least the Grinch was kind of funny and grumpy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Do you prefer clear lights or colored?
Clear.
Okay. A snowball fight or build a snowman?
Definitely build a snowman, because I can't throw very well and I would just get schooled. I remember that.
Are you a good gift wrapper or not?
I'm actually pretty decent. Uh-huh. Surprisingly. Okay, yeah, I'm good. Not bad. It takes me long, but I'm actually pretty good.
So last question, do you have an ugly Christmas sweater, and what does it look like?
I do have an ugly Christmas sweater, and it's actually just like a really strange looking vest that has like yellow and green and red. So it's like, is that Christmas or is that just ugly? it's like a cardigan vest. It's pretty gross looking.
Well, that sounds good. Well, you definitely passed the test. You can keep making Hallmark movies. But really, this was a great interview. You did a wonderful job.
You're so fun.
And yay. Yeah. So where can people follow you on social media, and especially your Instagram?
Right. Okay, everybody. So yeah, everybody listening, if you want to get the goods on usually the food and some good stuff too. And usually some workouts, me working off. follow me on Instagram at Donna, D-O-N-N-A _, the letter B, the number 4, and the letter U. Donna, B for you.
Great.
And who was it? You know, actually, it was Matthew Dowden.
Yeah.
Who was making fun of my Instagram tag saying, so you're before everyone else in his accent. Like, Donna, be for you. Donna before everyone else was like, no, it was supposed to be for you. And he's like, that doesn't make sense. I'm like, maybe I should change it. But that's what it is for now. Just so you know.
Okay.
Wow, great job. And have a very Merry Christmas, and enjoy eating all that food.
Yes.
Aw, thank you, ladies. That was so much fun. Yeah, really so much fun. I hope you like the movie. December 19th.
We're looking forward to it.
We are very much looking forward to it.
Awesome.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
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 we'd really like to thank Donna for coming on the podcast. That was one of my all-time faves. That was such a good interview. I had a great time. Yeah. And so Anne, where can people find you on
social? You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at awscott21, and that's Scott with two T's.
Great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes and YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So check that all out. We're reviewing all the holiday releases in feature films. So definitely take a look at that. And make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media, and on iTunes and YouTube. If you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. And if you're listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel so we can do more and more interviews like we had today. We also have our patron group, which is a lot of fun. We talk about all the movies and not just Hallmark, but more. And we just have great discussions. It's a lot of fun. So I have all the information in the description section. We also have our merch store if you're looking for last minute gifts at TeePublic. There's all different Hallmark inspired content and holiday content designed by Jessica Miller. So lots of cool stuff. Check it out. The link will be in the description. So thanks so much, Anne, and thanks so much, Donna, and we'll talk to you all later. Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!